Podcast Episode 1, Flashbacks.
Making their TV debut with Supersonic.
Welcome to the Oasis Podcast, Episode 1. Just to make you aware, I've gone back and re-recorded. If you'd listened to the old Episode 1, this is a new Episode 1, because the old Episode 1 was a bit of a mess. It was me just trying to find my feet. So I've come back to just put this together a little bit more of the standard that we're at now on the Oasis Podcast. And also, we're now on Audio Boom, which doesn't allow for more than 30-second song clips, so I've had to kind of go back and re-edit 30-second clip. So I'm recording this in June 2017. So we're kind of going on a weird sort of back in time trip here, but there we go. So thank you for downloading the podcast. So we're currently in the real world up to episode 13. And so if this is the first time you're listening, hello, welcome on board. And yeah, there's some great stuff to come. So please stick with us. The purpose of the podcast is to discuss and analyze and remember, reminisce about Oasis, and that's in a couple of ways. So we do that with by talking to the people that were there, that were involved in the band themselves, whether it's actual band members. So we've got the Tony McCarroll interview coming up, people that played with them. So we've got we've already recorded and released episodes with Steve White, who played drums with him in 2001, and also with Mark Feltham, who played harmonica with them on a number of recordings and a number of live gigs, plus the fans and people that were inspired by Oasis and people that have gone on to do interesting stuff because of Oasis. So Brian Cannon, who was the Oasis sleeve designer and photographer. We've got Chris from the Stage Left podcast, who is massively inspired by Oasis and has now got one of the most successful music podcasts out there. Anton Tell, who's a DJ and promoter in Northampton, and we've got puts on fantastic nostalgia-based sort of nights. Ken Womack, the Beatles scholar, we talked to him about Oasis. Brian Garcia, probably the world's greatest Oasis collector, with a fantastic collection of Oasis memorabilia. So what we do here is to talk to those people, as we said, those that were involved in the band or those that have been inspired by the band to do other interesting things. And plus, with everything that's happening at the moment, as I say, I'm recording this in June, and we've got Liam Gallagher playing gigs. We've got albums coming out later this year for both Liam and Noel. Rumours of a reunion are always just around the corner. So as well as all the interviews, we end up doing a bit of news of what's happening in that world. Plus, the podcast is all about community, and I want to hear from you. So we will play new bands. We will play, if you've got do Oasis covers, if you do remixes of Oasis songs, all that sort of stuff. We'd love to have a real mixture of different things on the podcast. So if that's you, if you've been looking for an outlet for your creative stuff, send it over. If it's good, if it's interesting, cool, I'll play it. And as long as it doesn't break copyright, I could even play more than 30 seconds of it. And and that's what we do. So to give you a bit of history about myself, I first heard Oasis in 1994, but didn't grab onto them straight away. I think the first time I heard them was seeing Shaker Maker on the chart show, and which you're from the UK and you grew up in the 90s, you might remember that one of the few places to watch music videos, this is pre-MTV in the UK, or very, very early, that not many of us had MTV. So one of the early, only places you could watch music videos was on the chart show on Channel 4 on a Saturday morning. And they would do the indie chart or the rock chart or the pop chart, and you would sit there and watch and wait. And they had this weird thing where they would like fast forward through some videos and then they would play some videos. And yeah, I remember seeing this weird band with that kind of, that sort of swagger and that funny haircut that I'd seen in quite a few other bands at the time, like a lot of those Manchester bands like the Charlatans. And yeah, I thought they sounded all right. It didn't really do anything for me, to be honest. I sort of just thought, oh, it's another one of those bands. I mean, I'm 14 at the time in 1994, so I'm not actually that bothered about indie music at that point. And then later on, as 94 wore on, I mean, I remember hearing more and more about this band Oasis as the album. I remember hearing that it had been the fastest selling album and all that sort of stuff. And so I started paying a bit more attention to them. And then by the time we're at the end of 94 and the likes of Cigarettes and Alcohol coming out, and then definitely by Whatever coming out, I remember that very, very clearly. I'm really liking that song Whatever, and just think it was really interesting. But a big thanks for getting me into Oasis, and also half of the kids in our school needs to go to a guy called Will Cooper, who is at Will Cooper on Twitter, because he went and recorded us. Basically, he had all the singles and Definitely Maybe. And so he put together a legendary mixtape with Definitely Maybe on one side and all the B-sides on the other side. And that was just hammered and played and played and played and played until it probably fell to bits. So a big thank you to Will Cooper for showing me the light, getting me into Oasis. As we then went into sort of 95, I kind of went all in, really. So by the time we get to sort of summer 95, we were all completely fully on board with Oasis. I remember that summer very clearly with, you know, the Battle of Britpop and Roll With It coming out and all that sort of stuff. So absolutely loved them. Getting into 96, I saw them in Cardiff for the first time in March 96, and then went to Nebworth and saw them there as well, which was a mind-blowing, kind of life-changing experience. And it was actually then coming out of Nebworth, decided to start a band. And yeah, so contacted a, you know, a very good friend of mine who you'll hear also on this podcast in the future, a guy called Joel, and we formed a band with a few other friends. And yeah, and that was how I spent sort of the end of my teens and into my early 20s, sort of gigging around unsuccessfully trying to be a musician. But the effect on me of Oasis was that I changed my haircut, I changed the way I dressed, I just went fully in, fully on board. I may have even occasionally walked with a slight Liam Gallagher swagger, and possibly as well my regular Oxfordshire accent may have been replaced with a slight Mancunian drawl. Just briefly in that mid-90s.
All right, Kev.
Oh, Perry, how is Manchester?
Yeah, you know, results sorted, top mad for it.
Did you go and see Oasis?
I might have done, who's asking?
Me.
Oh, yeah, right, sorted, top mad for it.
Were they brilliant?
Yeah, they were great, you know, but I don't know, like, you know, because I was so out of it, you know.
How is your auntie?
That has been. I don't know, who cares, you know, the way I look at it, Kev, you know, there's only two type of people, right? There's us and there's wankers.
Yeah, right, our para, sorted.
So how's this dead town been when I've been away?
Oh, it's been a right bummer.
Chill out, Kevin, get one on.
Oh, cheers, Perry. I mean, para. Sorted. Yeah, it's been a roller boring week. Yeah, I've been in my room most of the week, listening to Oasis records. I know all the words.
That's totally on cool, you know. Learning words is what you do at school. Teachers teach you how to be stupid.
Hello, Perry. Did you have a nice time in Manchester?
Yes, thank you, Miss Petson.
Gosh, you've drawn a little bit of a beard on. How very grown up.
Thank you. I really like your mum, you know. I feel like I'd like to shag her.
Yeah, I'd like to shag your mum too.
Right, I'm off out. I'm going to go and beat up a couple of cockney bastards. You coming?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'll have some bread and dripping for us teas, our mother.
Kevin, why are you talking in that extraordinary way?
I don't know what that's talking about.
Why are you pretending to be a northerner? You sound very silly.
You don't know nout. I'm real. You're just loving their lies. I hate you.
So, as I said, the late 90s, I was spent a lot of time sort of playing gigs around Oxford, Reading, some in London, with the band Vision. And our track, Shine On, is something that I use at the start of quite a lot of the episodes. It was at the start of this one. That's something we recorded back then. So, yeah, and in terms of Oasis as well, I carried on. I saw them quite a few times on the Be Here Now tour. Be Here Now, I loved it. I know a lot of people went off it, but I thought it was an absolutely brilliant album. I still really loved all the B-sides around that period as well. So you won't find any Be Here Now hate in this corner. I carried on, listened to Oasis then after the band split up, kind of once we all sort of disappeared off to university and things in sort of 2000, 2001. And yeah, I was still really into Oasis. I saw them at Wembley Stadium 2000, Familiar to Millions tour. That was the last time I saw them live. After that, after the Standing on the Shoulders, which I thought was a good album, but you know, obviously not quite up to the same standard. And then after Griggs and Bonehead left and they replaced them, it was never really the same for me. I mean, I still liked the albums. I enjoyed them. Yeah, it just wasn't as big a deal for me anymore. I didn't tend to follow it that closely. And yeah, and then I still bought everything and still enjoyed it. But obviously I didn't see them again, so I wasn't driven to go and see them. And then they split up in 2009.
Oasis have split, and according to Noel Gallagher, this time it's for good. Noel announced he's quitting the band because he can't work a day longer with his brother Liam. The final straw came when the two came to blows before a gig at a festival in Paris. Sky's showbiz correspondent Steve Hargrave now reports.
Some might say it's been on the cards for a while, but today it seems Oasis have actually split up. So what's the story this time? Well, last night they cancelled another show in Paris, just days after they didn't appear at the V Festival. With rumours of a huge bust-up backstage and Liam breaking Noel's guitar. And then Noel issued a statement confirming he's decided to slide away. It's with some sadness and great relief to tell you I quit Oasis tonight, he said. I simply could not go on working with Liam a day longer.
It was what we all bought into, you know, as the British record-buying public. We enjoyed watching these brothers go from having nothing to having everything and, you know, having the odd scrap along the way. But I think in recent, certainly in the last year or so, it's become a bit uglier and not as enjoyable to watch.
The writing's been on the Wonderwall for a while now, and the brothers have always played on their sibling rivalry.
Shut up. Right. If you think rock and roll is getting arrested,
rock and roll is about being yourself and having a fucking boat and a drink and a
rock and roll's about music. Shut up.
And Liam's always conceded that he and Noel are pretty much half a world away from each other.
It's all right, man. I mean, you know, we don't go for walks in the park, you know. We don't go and sit, you know, feed each other popcorn in a cinema, you know what I mean? We just do what we do when we need to speak about... The thing is about me and our kid, there's no in it anymore, you know what I mean? There's no bullshit. We just, whatever needs to be said, we say it.
They've always argued, of course, so is this split really for real? Well, 9 years ago, they headlined this very stage here at this weekend's Leeds Festival. Today, though, feelings are mixed about the news.
It's quite sad, actually, yeah. I mean, good I don't really like the people in it. Like, Liam annoys me a lot. But like, the music they make is great, isn't it? I mean, everyone loved it. It's classic.
About time, Noel left.
I don't know, it's like a Jordan Peter kind of thing. Will they get back together or not? I don't know.
So Noel and Liam are now free to do whatever they want. For Noel, it's the inevitable solo album, and Liam's been busy creating his own clothing range. Very nice.
I'm not doing it for the money either. I'm just doing it because there's a lack of stuff that, the things I want, I can't really get, you know what I mean?
The band that have been in and out of fashion then are seemingly no more. distraught fans will just have to roll with it. Steve Hargrave, Sky News.
So let's just answer the three questions, really. Why Oasis? Why a podcast? And why now? So why Oasis? Well, obviously they are one of the most important bands that this country's produced. They were the biggest band, I'd say, since the Beatles. The phenomenal success they had in the mid-90s was unprecedented since that Beatles, since the Beatles in the 60s. And yet, the level of analysis of them compared to someone like the Beatles or like even like Bowie or Dylan or the Beach Boys even, it's just not that great. I mean, there's just not that much analysis of them, sort of from a scholarly side and then sort of also from a sort of a music history side. There was a number of wonderful books written in that first couple of years, but since then there hasn't been a huge amount of documentation. And something that we do end up talking about in quite a few of the later episodes is the fact that there hasn't been a book written that covers the overall period of the band. And so, yeah, so that's definitely something that I think I'm trying to rectify, really, with this podcast, is we're capturing the stories of people that were involved in the band that maybe haven't been put down on tape before, and also those that were inspired by the band and what they thought about it, and stories of going to gigs and what it was like to see them, and you know, really I just want to get that stuff down for posterity, for the future. So that's why Oasis. Why a podcast? I love podcasts. I think they're the best medium. It's so intimate, it's straight into your ears, it's so easy, you can listen to it whenever you want, wherever you want, and there's no restrictions. I can do a 10-minute episode, I can do a 3-hour episode, as I have done. The Oasis Live episode with Ant Antel was over 3 hours. So a podcast is just the perfect place for a discussion, especially a discussion when you're talking about music and you want interviews and you want clips and you want archive footage. Where better than the podcast? And why now? Well, what I've thought about this for a long time. I've thought about doing a podcast. I also love the Beatles, and I've thought about doing a Beatles podcast, but there are so many Beatles podcasts out there, and there's nothing I can add. Something like a podcast like Something About the Beatles has got that covered. You know, it's proper scholars that know their stuff, that have written books on the subject. I'm not going to add much to a Beatles podcast, but Oasis, now that's a different thing. Now I really can, I feel, do something there, and that I know my stuff, and also I can tap into people that know a lot more than me and have got, you know, interesting and passionate things to say about the band. And the spur for it was seeing Supersonic, seeing that documentary. And the frustrating thing about Supersonic is that it ends in 1996 at Nebworth, which, yeah, the rise of the band is, you know, is often the most interesting thing about a band's history. But in Oasis' case, I mean, there was so much more. You know, they carried on until 2009. And as well as that, you know, especially in those years, 96 to sort of 2000, 2001, I mean, that was a really tumultuous, interesting period and just not covered at all. So whether Matt Whitecross goes back and does another, does a chapter two and covers that period, then that would be interesting to see. But at the moment, I think that there's a real niche. People want to hear about Oasis. They want to hear about the rise, but they also want to hear about the later years as well. So, and it was really that Oasis seeing Supersonic that made me think, okay, let's get on with this. Let's do this. So, so there we go.
In 3 years, Oasis will have gone from being a new signing to one of rock's true giants.
What happened to you in those 3 years? So that's a big question.
It is a big question. And it deserves a big answer. We're just lads from a council estate. Two brothers.
No, it's the funny farm.
Head cases.
Come on, you bald
Nobody had heard of us.
But we had spirit.
We never gave up. One night, everything changed.
there is a story about you getting signed to Creation. Alan McGee saw you in the club, is that right?
I did, yeah. He signed us there and then on the spot.
No one had ever come along that was even remotely like us.
Their debut album is already the classic of our time.
Then it just blew up.
The most popular rock and roll band in Britain today.
Oasis were involved in a drunken brawl.
Immediately condemned by politicians.
The day that it steps over into the tabloids, then you've gone to the dark side.
Trouble seemed to find us.
It all happened too quick.
Oasis was like a Ferrari. Great to look at, great to drive, and it'll fucking spin out of control every now and again.
Oasis's greatest strength was me and Liam. It's also what drove the band into the ground in the end.
Give it up for Oasis.
One of the biggest bands since the Beatles.
It just caught fire all over the world.
It was just a great time to be alive.
It was fucking biblical, man. I'd do it all again in that room.
Sometimes I wish it had gone a different way, but it hasn't.
I just think in the times in which we live, it would be unrepeatable.
If this ever goes on like a video, I would apologise, but I'm not going to, because he's a prick.
So where do we go from here? Well, as you'll carry on and listen to the episodes, I hope you'll enjoy them. So I hope you enjoy the interview stuff, the news stuff that we do, the community engagement, and that's what it's really about. So please do get in touch. The best ways are at Oasis Podcast on Twitter or oasispod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, just at Oasis Podcast. So you can find me in those places, but the best place is probably Twitter. That's where we like to get very involved in all the fans and listeners and everyone just having... I like to do polls and things on there, which is good fun, and just lots of debate and lots of good times. So if you are on Twitter, get following me at Oasis Podcast and get involved. You'll see it's a really good community of people over there that just love Oasis and love music and want to talk about it. And it's really good fun. And you can support the podcast. So the easiest way to support the podcast and a way that's really helpful is by subscribing on iTunes and then writing a review and giving a rating. Now, it goes up to 5 stars, so if you can give a 5-star review, that'd be great. And if you can give us a review, so write just a few words just saying what you think of the podcast, hopefully saying how it's absolutely brilliant and the best podcast you've ever heard in your life, that would be great. The reason for that is that apparently that gets it up the charts on iTunes. The more it gets up the charts on iTunes, the better chance I've got of getting better quality guests. So if you can do that, that would be great. If you wanted to support the podcast financially, then that's an option. Head to patreon.com/oasispodcast. You'll see there's various levels of support. So if you want to listen to the episodes but without any advertising, then you can support us there for as little as $1 per month. I will send you an MP3 file of the episodes without any advertising at all. I know some people get a bit annoyed by the adverts, but there you go. And also, if you support us at the $3 or more level, something unique that we do is that we will write and record a song for you. So I will find out a little bit about you, and we will write and record a song for you. And if you hear that the first one has already been done and recorded, which is for Casey Bennett, who appears in episode 3. So yes, to do that, please head to patreon.com/oasispod. So if you know of anyone that has a particularly interesting story about Oasis, or if you can get me in touch with someone that was involved in the Oasis story, so get in touch with that on the Twitter or the email, and yeah, that would be fantastic to hear from you. And I like to hear lots of different voices on this, so if you have a question to ask, if you have some comments on the podcast, or if you have just something to say, then drop me an audio message. Just record it, you know, voice app on an iPhone is fine. Just send it over on email over to oasispod@gmail.com. And if it's interesting, if it's funny, cool, I'll play it on the podcast so your name can be, you will be heard. And the other thing as well, look out for, we've got loads of other stuff happening. So live events we do, listener meetups we do, We're looking at merchandise and things like that. So just keep it peeled to the Oasis podcast page on Audioboom, the Patreon page, and obviously the Twitter. So that's all for this revised first episode of the podcast, which has actually been recorded kind of 14th. Just giving a bit of insight into me and what the podcast's all about. So I hope you enjoy the other episodes, and stay in touch, stay involved, and stay young.
Going to history for the weekend to watch Oasis.